Show. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, the end of the week, the last full week of the month of August is, almost done. It is the 25th day of August, 2017. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live, and that, in fact, is where you go if you would like to jump in to the madcap, merry, zany, wacky, real-time, multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room, especially on Fridays. This is, of course, Friday on the Front Porch. And if you picked yourself out a screen name and a password over at the tab over at the tab chat room, well, you'll be immediately greeted by a jug of punch and Labor Man and Silent R. Lamar and Squeaky and longtime inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has decided not to fold space. I take it it must be a little toasty yet in the man cave, as well as utility midweek chat room moderator and all-around great guy Steve from Georgistan. More wandering by as the evening progresses. These are just the folks who are on time. Not that we, you know, mark time cards and give grades for tardiness or handwriting or penmanship or deportment or anything. No, not at all. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Like I said, we are running downhill toward the end of the month of August, and we find ourselves this Friday, in a hole. Yep. I didn't want to get there, but we are there. The fundraising hole for this for the week is $470. And then, of course, we will. So this is the 29th, 30th, 31st, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. That's why this is the last full week of August. Here. This is the, so we got 4 days next week. But anyway, taken all together, $1,271 to raise to finish off the month of August, okay, but only $471 to finish off this week. And, of course, it helps when there are incentives to doing that. And we have exactly that. We have incentives in the form of two challenges, okay? We have $250 worth of challenges on the table. Courtesy of Chris in Germany, the originator of Nudge the Norsky, Nudge the Norsky challenge this evening to the tune of $150. And Sylvia reached me earlier with a challenge, which she calls Cash a Check. The varied heritages of members of the Horn community are beginning to, rise to the occasion alongside the need to keep the lights on here. and we need to finish the week, you know, to the good. So, courtesy of Sylvia, we have the cash a check challenge of $100. So we've got $250 in challenges on the table, and if they're all met, we'll finish the week not only okay, but golly Moses, $29 to the good. And by the way, thanks always go out to our monthly subscribers. Oh yes, yes indeed. We have two of those today. We have Asa. Thank you, Asa. And we have Kay. Thank you very kindly to both of you. As a result of that, well, it would have been $4.91, and it's $4.71 instead, so thank you very much. And for those of you, remember, there's still all the way up to next Thursday before anything gets charged if you want to jump in on the subscription. And this is only if you don't like PayPal. The PayPal recurring works fine. But over at Patreon.com, we have a campaign going on to try to find, you know, a total of 400 subscribers at $10 a month. And we're down around 333 or something like that. And that's over at Patreon, patreon.com, patreon.com/Bob Kincaid. BobKincaid, Bob Kincaid. So hopefully, and if we ever get that whole contingent of subscribers, I get to stop doing this and wasting precious time at the beginning of the program talking about this. So that's where it stands. Okay. So there's a good bit, as always, to talk about, but let's do the, let me read. So there's $250 in challenges on the table, and that means, there's $275 in challenges on the table. Thank you, Ralphs. $25 challenges there as well. So that would really, really end the week well. And thanks very kindly. Thanks very kindly to Glenn to be first out of the box. That means there's $265 now to raise to meet nudge the Norski and the cash a check challenges and Ralph's challenge. To bring us even on the week. So there we go. Hopefully this Friday on the front porch we'll see a little miracle transpire so that we can get a whole bunch of bill paying out of the way. And it, you know, make things nice and copacetic going into September, because we live, you know, from month to month here. I wish it was otherwise, but it isn't. Somebody up in Massachusetts won the $700 million Powerball jackpot and unfortunately was not a horn listener. but she seemed like a nice person, so Well, she wasn't Jack Whitaker, let's put it this way. Jack Whitaker is the benchmark for bad lottery winners. Naturally, he comes from West Virginia. Of course he does. So, like I said, it's Friday on the front porch. Here in about 50 minutes or so, I'll light up the Bob signal. I'm not nearly as good at this as Sparky was. He had years and years and years of experience. But if you want to, if you've never participated in Friday on the Front Porch and you want to, you need to send me a contact request on Skype. Bob Kincaid Horn. If we're already connected, you don't need to send it again. And we'll have some sort of bumper music along the way. And during the break, I'll get us fired up with the Friday on the Front Porch group, and we'll see where the extraordinary ordinary roundtable takes us. There's really nothing like this that happens out there anywhere else. Rollicking, fun, and freewheeling, going into just about any topic that anyone has on their minds. That's kind of what that, you know, and doing so in an end of week fashion. When the time comes, you know, you dial me, I'll get somebody connected, and then I'll add you to the group, add others to the group as they dial in, and I watch it happen over here at it. Let's see, at a 90 degree angle to port is where the computer that Skype comes in on is. So I'll try to make sure that I catch any little flashes that happen out of the corner of my eye. Hoping for good weather this weekend. There's a good bit of yard work to get caught up on. Still catching up after being away for a week. You know, it's amazing what a week of rain. Apparently it did nothing but rain here while we were gone. It's amazing what a week of rain will do in terms of creating, you know, work for you. I suspect my lawn mowing buddy Dennis down in Kentucky knows of which I speak. It's been kind of a wet summer here, at least part of it. On the other hand, it's probably intensely inappropriate that I should complain about any rain that we've received here, considering what's bearing down on the Texas Gulf Coast. Harvey is now in earnest. Harvey is a Category 3 hurricane. Last report I saw that it was measuring sustained winds at sea of about 125 miles an hour. Much more than that, it'll hit Cat 4, and well, even at Cat 3, it's gonna cause massive amounts of damage. And Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, who despises the federal government and the way the federal government intrudes onto our sovereign decision making down in Texas, all of a sudden practically a big government liberal now that he's got his hand out and waiting on a money check, which they will desperately need because Texas could never, ever, ever respond to one of these things by itself. Hell, if it was up to Texas to build roads, the Texans would still be traveling in mud ruts. Or at best, two-lane tar and chip highways. It's one of those nice things about a federal government. Not rubbing salt in any wounds or anything. It's just a fact. All these Southern Confederate states complain about the big federal government, bloated federal government with its tax and spent policies, until they want those taxes spent on them. And of course, the vast majority of the taxes that go to the states do get spent on them because they refuse to put good government in place that could help them help themselves. So, you know, I mean, that's where it is. Um, So that, you know, that story is looming. Here's one. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Labor Man. That would be Chickley and Stone Roads, Bob. There's a new word for it. It pays to increase your word power. Thank you, Labor Man. Yeah, I remember some years ago. What is it about Columbia? I got nothing. I'm talking about the nation, not the Columbia River. I'm talking the nation of Columbia. High-ranking U.S. officials go down there, and this is like the second or third time now that people have gotten busted in security details for going out and getting hookers. I remember when it happened on the during the Obama administration. I think, didn't it happen during W's administration? Whatever. Second or third time. Well, Vice President Mike Pencil Neck Geek, you know, the guy who refers to his wife as mother, went down to Columbia recently. While down there, he did some strategic saber-rattling at Venezuela, which actually worries me a little bit because I know that they know there at in the Trump regime, I know that they know that they cannot win a war in Korea. I know they know that it would just bog them down all over again to get themselves in another war in the Middle East, this time maybe with, say, Iran. Sending 4,000 more troops to Afghanistan is just going to mean 4,000 more opportunities for tear and grief and caskets coming home with flags on them, because there's not going to be anything come of that. So I worry that by saying the United States will not stand... Mother, the United States will not stand by while Venezuela falls into chaos. Because that's what Vice President Mike Pencil Neck Geek said. Thereby implying that... the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini would be willing to send American troops into Venezuela when Venezuela has done absolutely nothing to us except sell us a whole bunch of oil. Oh, wait a minute. Damn it. It's there every time, isn't it? Yeah, it is. It is. But that we would get ourselves in a nice little jungle war there in Venezuela. But anyway, when he went to Colombia, the detail from the U.S. Army who were assigned to Mike Pencil Neck Geek's communications team, well, they got reassigned because they thought that during their off hours, they were free to go out and meet and greet and form international bonds of friendship with certain professional women and bring them back to their hotel. According to some Defense Department officials, their major mistake was in not registering the guests when they brought them to the hotel. I mean, if Mike Pencil Neck Geek, wait a minute, Super Christian, if he won't even sit down and eat a meal with a woman without having witnesses present, you can imagine how he feels about having having working ladies in the same hotel with him. He might have experienced a mad rush of vicarious, unexplainable lust. And Mother would not like that at all. Mother does not like it when Mike Pencil Neck Geek gets all lustish. No. No. So, the soldiers got, and they were, you know, senior level members of the security detail. They got called back to the United States. Guys, really? I mean, I know I know you feel like you're goodwill ambassadors for the United States and you have to spread your goodwill. But you can't do that when America's number one Christian and number two man, I'm sure, you know, number two man occasions a little bit of snickering, is working the Columbia circuit. You just can't do that, fellas. Yep. You just can't do that. Not saying, saying. Marty wants to know, are you likening the vice president to Norman Bates? No, that's Tony Norman. Yes, Mother Bates. Perkins of the Family Resource Council down there, who, when he got flooded recently in Louisiana, said that it proved how much God loved him, that other people got worsely flooded than he did. Because God is love, y'all. Yes, indeed. Yes, yes, indeed. We'll just kind of bounce around a little bit because there's, you know, stuff to sort of wrap up as the week ends. You know, to one side of Lafayette Square in Washington, D.C., just a couple of doors down from what was originally the mansion built by, I think, Stephen Decatur. You know, there's a famous street in the French Quarter, Decatur Street, Decatur, Georgia, Decatur, Alabama. I think there's a Decatur County, Tennessee. There was a real madness for naming things Decatur once upon a time because of Stephen Decatur. Stephen Decatur was a famous military hero. A naval hero, to be precise. He was born in 1779. He died in 1820. He's particularly famous for naval service. Let's see, he was a Commodore. He commanded the USS Argus, the Enterprise, the Chesapeake, the United States, the President, the Constitution, and the Guerriere after the Constitution beat it in battle. Actually, he's the son of the more famous Decatur, Stephen Decatur Sr., who was a hero of the American Revolution. But he died young. He died in 1820 after a duel, a pistol duel, with another naval officer. That really doesn't matter. But he built himself a nice little mansion. A house there in Washington, D.C., off Lafayette Park, just a stone's throw away from the where the White House had been built. And a couple of, and that whole area now is sort of federalized. It was taken over by the executive branch of the government. And a couple of doors down from Stephen Decatur's old place is the office of the Council on Environmental Quality. You know, I mentioned the fact last night that we don't have an ambassador to India. Well, we also don't have a Council on Environmental Quality. The Council on Environmental Quality was created by none other than Richard Nixon by signing into law the National Environmental Policy Act. That was 1969. The CEQ, as it's called, is comprised of three members nominated by the president and confirmed by the Senate. There were requirements in the law. Members of the CEQ are to be exceptionally well qualified to analyze and interpret environmental trends and information of all kinds, to appraise programs and activities of the federal government in the light of the policy set forth in Title I and of the enabling legislation, and to be conscious of and responsive to the scientific, economic, social, aesthetic, and cultural needs and interests of the nation, and to formulate and recommend national policies to promote the improvement of the quality of the environment. Well, oopsie. In the Trump regime, there's no Council on Environmental Quality. Now, not because a bunch of obstructionist, totally obstructionist Democrats are blocking things. No. Not because the president's nominees are walking back and forth in front of Senate office buildings waiting for their names to be called so they can go in and have their confirmation hearing. No. No. There's no Council of Environmental Quality because Tangerine Tiberius hasn't gotten around to nominating any. And the people around him may not even know that he's supposed to. Really? I think Progress found this out. Josh Israel. Joe Rahm's the head of the Environmental Division over there, does brilliant work. Josh Israel has this article. I mentioned how their offices used to be there on off of Lafayette Square. Well, they're not there anymore because the Trump administration threw them out. Along the way, the Trump administration also said that the guidance policies for dealing with climate change during environmental reviews, they put that in the garbage too. Yeah, by the way, the president also, remember the really, really impressive science advisors to the president appointed under President Obama? Stephen Chu was one. What was his name, the other one? Most impressive, nuclear physicists, real live, honest-to-goodness scientists. Yeah, the Clementine Caligula doesn't have one of those either. Because, when you really don't give a shit about the environment why do you want a council on environmental quality even if the law says you have to have one? Oops, there's another thing we can add to the list of reasons to impeach him. Dag nabbit. So, you know, you don't want one of those because, among other things, they might get in the way of, say, the recent review of national monuments by Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke. That came out yesterday. Zinke said, well, we're not going to get rid of any monuments altogether, but, you know, we're going to shrink them a little. We're going to shrink some of them because they're just too dang big. They will, of course, be shrunken, in particular, in places where... Eric Moniz, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. Eric from Pennsylvania, Bamistan point. Yes, that was Eric Moniz and Stephen Chu. Right. Thank you. Eric Moniz. I appreciate that, Eric. Who is not Eric Moniz, I'm pretty sure. But maybe that's how he remembered who it was. So the national monuments, things like Bear's Ears, one of the newest ones, yeah, they're just going to be shrunken a little bit. And they'll probably be shrunken just enough to let the coal companies come in and display their love for the environment. Oh. But because the goddess of irony is a good goddess, with obviously a cosmic and universal sense of the absurd, she made sure that the person announcing the shrinkage of American national monuments would be named Zinke. Damn, she's good. So, henceforward, the Secretary of the Department of Interior will be known as Secretary Ryan Shrinky. Yeah, quality, isn't it? Real high quality. Ryan Shrinky. Of course, for all I know, his wife's called him that for years. Ooh. Oh, look, it's some economic anxiety. Michael James Holt, remember last night we talked about the guy who was caught with bomb-making materials and a homemade pipe bomb, who apparently wanted to go to a memorial or a memorial service for Charlottesville. Michael James Holt. The disease has spread. Sorry, Robert. Sorry, angry architect. Sorry, John. Sorry, our other Australian friends. The disease has spread to Australia. Michael James Holt appeared today, which is tomorrow, or maybe yesterday, or 3 weeks from Thursday, international dateline and all that, appeared in court in Australia and pled guilty to having a whole bunch of guns, which you're really not supposed to have in Australia. And they were homemade guns. He'd stashed them at his place. He'd stashed them at his grandpa's place. He'd stashed them in a hotel. Yeah, along the way, he also pleaded guilty to possessing and sharing child pornography, because the cops found that while they were looking for the guns. Because Michael James Holt had planned an American-style mass shooting event at a shopping mall. He also had ambitions of shooting some students and teachers at a nearby school. When he asked, when the police, who surprisingly didn't just shoot him on sight, well, I mean, you know, he's white and everything, When the police did, and, you know, the cops down in Australia don't really shoot people all that often unless they absolutely, really, positively, no kidding, have to. But they sat down for a little chat with Michael James Holt and said, why would you want to do this? And interviewed by them, and then interviewed, and then this was relayed by prosecutors at the sentencing. He said he was infatuated with neo-Nazi ideology. At one point, telling a counselor that Adolf Hitler was the greatest person ever to live. He also noted there were text messages from his phone, 40 pages of them, in which he discussed his plan to shoot tourists and shoot police. At one point, he said, I'm going to have to just start killing people if I don't get laid soon. And there's nothing like going on a homicidal binge of mass murder to make the ladies to make the Sheilas want you down there, right, mate? Right, cool. Meanwhile, Michael James Holt, according to prosecutors, has been obsessed with guns since he was 5 years old. Okie dokie. Inspiring, right? Well, I'm doing my best. Ron and Raleigh says, well, tell me, what does Crocodile Kincaid say about this? I will put a couple of pistols on the babby and be waiting for you there. You're going to get me in trouble. Meanwhile, Marty simply asking, has Betsy DeVos been to Australia? Yeah. Speaking of homicidal maniacs, let's run down to Clarksdale, Mississippi, Stan. I kind of knew that something like this would happen when it did. It was still a heroic thing to do. Judge Carlos Moore ordered the state flag of Mississippi removed from his courtroom. And, you know, judges have almost unlimited power over, they're kind of like captains of ships at sea. They have almost unlimited power over what happens inside the four corners of their courtroom. And Judge Carlos Moore, being a man of African-American descent, ordered the flag of the state of Mississippi, because that's what we're going to fight wars over in the 21st century. We haven't gotten to the... We've been fighting over oil, and we haven't gotten to the part where we're fighting over water yet. So, in the meantime, we'll fight over flags. Judge Carlos Moore said, get that thing out of here, the state flag of Mississippi. Because back in the beginnings of the civil rights era, as you know, just as was the case with these goddamn statues going up, state governments in the South extended a great big white middle finger to everyone in the country who wanted to see equal rights under law mean actually equal rights under law, and they made the Confederate battle flag a part of their state flag. Other states did as well. Georgia comes to mind. South Carolina? Out there, David, in South Carolina? Yeah, y'all one of those? And so, because of the impact that it has, that Confederate battle flag, on African Americans, and people who understand of any ethnicity, who understand that it is a symbol of vicious hatred on a par with the Hakenkreuz of Third Reich Germany, Judge Carlos Moore said, get it out of here. And they got it out of here. That was back in July, a month ago. Well, in the interim, as you can well imagine would happen, the threats have been pouring in for Judge Moore, particularly by social media. One poster saying, "Your," and of course spelled it Y-O-U-R, not Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, because, you know, reading is not fundamental to being a white supremacist. "You're not untouchable. You can't behind the court system or closed doors. If I were you, I'd start checking my surroundings." Then there was the one who was a little bit more blunt and just said, "You're a piece of shit. I guess you need a bullet in the head." Responding to that, another individual said, "Terminate him." Two men have warrants out for their arrest associated with the threats. Their names are Paul Millwood and Jeff Porch. Charges of cyberstalking, email threats, and harassment. Mm-hmm. Assistant Clarksdale, Mississippi Police Chief Robbie Lindley said, "We take any threat against any of our sitting judges, whether they are in our jurisdiction, whether they are a county judge, a city judge, circuit judge. We take those very serious. We're going to do everything we can to prosecute anyone that makes any physical threats against these individuals." These will probably not be the last of those threats. Like I said, for some reason or another, the booger eaters get really, really, really wrought about the scraps of cloth that hang on around and near them. Yeah. About 17 minutes before the hour, remember, please, there are $265 in challenges on the table for this Friday on the front porch so that we can end the week even and not be hollering up out of a hole come Monday. $265. And it is, it's needed for some real live, no kidding, bill paying here as we move toward the end of the month. $265. And we do not want to let, well, I don't want to let, I hope you don't want to let, because I hope you want this broadcast to continue. Don't let those challenges go by the boards. Okay. So, we have that. Oh, by the way, a note coming from Ron and Raleigh, the Colombian Exchange. My brother spent some time in Colombia a few years back. He extolled the quality of Colombian fil de joie, hot Latin blood, if you catch my drift. P.S. I can't wait to see the Trump FEMA swing into action. Well, you may be waiting rather a long time, because I've got a feeling there's not going to be much action out of them, because there's not much in the way of, competence to be had out of that bunch. Is there even a FEMA director? Or is all just sort of an interim thing? I don't know. So we'll, I hate to say we'll see, but we'll see. I have friends down there. We have friends in the horn community down there. And all that we can hope for is that they behave appropriately. The Mar-a-Lago Mussolini signed an order today that forbids transgender people from joining our sexually pure U.S. military, see Colombia above. On the other hand, the executive order does let Defense Secretary Jim Mattis decide whether trans people already in the ranks can remain there. Yeah. How amazing. This bigoted presumption that because someone is transgendered, that somehow they can't be an effective member of a fighting force. I dare say that the United States military has had transgendered people in it in one form or another, and in one branch or another, for rather as long as there's been a U.S. military. But because of the likes of Mike Super Christian Pence, well, they gotta have somebody to whip, and it's pitiful, but it's true. It just is. Among other things, the order forbids the military from paying for any sex reassignment surgeries or gender confirmation surgeries, as they are now known. The only way around that is for the person, the military service member, to prove that the withholding of such funds would be harmful to his or her health insofar as they are already transitioning. So you can't just cut off the estrogen and progesterone or the testosterone in the case of female to male. You can't do that if they can prove that it would be harmful. Which is an interesting standard in light of the fact that engaging in any bias against a person under those circumstances, including threatening to kick them out of the military, is harmful to the individual. I know. Steve in New York says, "Oh, Bob, it don't matter if there's no FEMA director. That's just big government trying to put people in FEMA camps because the government created the hurricane with the chemtrails anyway. Duh." Oh, dear. So there is one. I stand corrected. Ron and Raleigh pointing out Trump's FEMA chief is Brock Long, former head of Alabama Emergency Management. Well, I can tell you I'm absolutely filled with confidence and inspiration at that, except for the part where I'm not. Thank you very kindly. Henry, thank you very kindly indeed for taking us down to Henry took us down to 240 of the challenge met. And thank you, Chris, for taking us down to 215. We're getting there. Chris in Oregon, thank you very, very much. you guys, I love you. Steve in New York, Brock Long and male porn star. This water's deep, cold, water's cold, too deep, too. I ruined that joke. Brock Long and male porn star. Billable Rick says, I hear that Michael Heck of a Job Brownie is available to be FEMA director. If only nincompoop Nero. And by the way, yes, Brock Long and male porn star gets a jingle too. Is available to be FEMA director. If only nincompoop Nero can see fit to re-up him. After all, what could possibly go wrong with having an Arabian Horse Association head direct hurricane relief efforts? Hoo-wee! T-Rump is ready for a part-der hurricane episode. Well, if there's any relief to be had out of all of this, it is probably in the fact that the hurricane's not going right up the gazoo of Houston. You know, when you think of, and I'll probably get hate mail from Houston now, but when you think of great American cities, Houston doesn't come to mind. But Houston, I guess by virtue of city council action expanding the boundaries or something, Houston is the fourth largest city in America, in the United States. Which I guess would mean New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Houston. Go figure. Not Boston, not Atlanta, not San Francisco, not Seattle, Houston. And I read an article earlier today, courtesy of our dear friend Beth in Dallas, that points out the fact that, and it seems there's a string of these now. It's a list of cities that aren't ready for a really big hurricane that is sooner or later bound to arrive. What was it, a week, 2 weeks ago, we had the story about how Tampa isn't ready to get whacked and will get whacked by a hurricane? Well, it appears that the same can be said of Houston, America's fourth largest city. But at least at the moment, this storm does not appear to be aimed right up the gullet at Houston. But, of course, the oil companies, because there's a plumb ton of refining that goes on down that way, the oil refineries will jack up oil prices for all they're worth. So I don't care if you're not in the hurricane area. It might be a good idea to go out and fill your gas tank. Because this, whatever gasoline is priced at right now, this will probably be the last time in a while it'll be that low. Because after all, there are corporate profits to be made out of human misery and natural disaster. Right? Right. Thank you, Jack. Jack in Shreveport taking us down to, 215, carry the 12. To $165 to go on the challenge. Which means that 110 of it has been met so far out of 275. So thank you very, very kindly to Jack in Shreveport. And one of the scarier things about Harvey is, well, I saw the model this morning on that, you know, my filthy little habit. There's at least one model that shows Harvey coming ashore, sort of sitting there and burning off a little bit of its energy, but have it, if you think about a tire spinning in the mud, maybe suddenly grabbing some traction and popping right back out to sea, gathering more energy, moving a little bit to the, I guess, northeast, and coming back on land again. A pinball hurricane. And it'll come on land nearer to Houston this time, which, if I didn't note, and I think I did, is a long way from being ready to deal with a hurricane of massive proportions. Sobering, to say the very least. Oh, well, here it is. It's 4 minutes before the hour. I think it would be appropriate for us to fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable and the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. Again, a reminder with me moderating it, somebody needs to get the ball rolling and call, and I'll take the call and add you, and then as other people chime in, I'll add them too, or if I see them come in and I know, if you want to, just send me a message on Skype or whatever. I'll do my best to see it. But let's see what's on your mind. National Weather Service and other authoritative agencies are, of course, predicting record flooding in Texas. It looks like it's going to be smack dab over Victoria. That was the last model I saw. It'll land. It's expected now. It'll land right near Corpus Christi. That's right, Harvey. A 6-foot-tall white rabbit from Welsh mythology is going to slam the body of Christ. Pagans. Some areas could get more than 3 feet of rain over the central Texas coast. And the Reuters article that I'm looking at points out that it may loop back over the Gulf of Mexico and then slap the shit out of Houston. Greg Abbott, noted foe of big government, said, "My urgent message to my fellow Texans is that if you live in a region where evacuation has been ordered, you need to heed that advice and get out of harm's way while you can." Now, you know, the big government all the time telling you what you got to do and what you can't do. Weather Decision Technologies forecaster John Tharp says we may be looking at unprecedented and major to record flooding. One of the more horrifying aspects of all of this is the fact that despite the storm, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Department, ICE, have announced that they will, in fact, maintain their ICE checkpoints, you know, which they use to round up undocumented immigrants and eventually, depending on how the proceedings, deport them. Or, you know, round up people who were brought here as infants and send them back to places they've never even been to, heard of, or know anything about. This will, of course, have a decidedly negative impact. On undocumented immigrants taking appropriate actions to not be killed by the storm. But, you know, that'll be fine with people like Louis Asparagus Gohmert and Steve Cantaloupe's King and Donald J. Trump. Because after all, they're probably rapists anyway, because Mexico doesn't send us their best people. Tragic. Absolutely tragic. What this country can do to the weakest and most vulnerable among us. Tragic, sickening. Hey, while we're at it, let's haul out anti-American. Meanwhile, because of course, ABC News is reporting that a certain number of people are not evacuating as they should. People may be without power for weeks. God knows how long they'll be without water. There are risks of explosion, electric shock. And one Texas mayor, the mayor pro tem of Rockport, Texas, has advised people who refuse to evacuate in the face of the hurricane to write their names and their social security numbers on their arms so that their bodies can be more easily identified when the cleanup comes. Patrick Rios said, "We hate to talk about things like that. It's not something we like to do, but it's the reality. People don't listen." It's kind of like a Sharpie dog tag. The people who have the ability to evacuate but won't get a lot less sympathy from me than the people who have the ability but refuse. And there's always some. I noted some video of the area down around Corpus Christi. And surf's up. Which means that there's almost guaranteed to be some damn fool down there with a surfboard. Cowabunga, dude. I don't know. I just don't know. So we've got $165 to go in fundraising for the evening. And it's time to fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable for Friday on the Front Porch. On the horn for this 25th day of August 2017. Let's take a break. If you want to participate, well, ring me up over at Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype, and let's see what's on folks' minds. We'll be back. I'm Bob.
Buckets of rain, buckets of tears, got all them buckets coming out of my ears, buckets of moonbeams in my hand. You got all the love, honey, baby, I can stand. I've been meek and hard like an oak. I've seen pretty people disappear like smoke. Friends will arrive, friends will disappear. If you want me, honey, baby, I'll be here. I like the way that you move your hips. I like the cool way you look at me. Everything about you is bringing me misery. But I know what I like. I like the way you love me strong and slow. I'm taking you with me, honey, baby, when I go. Life is a bust. All you can do is do what you must. You do what you must do, and you do it well. I do it for you, honey, baby, can't you tell?
Bob Dylan, Buckets of Rain. Because, well, I don't know, that might have been more appropriately named, under the current circumstances, Barrels of Rain. Courtesy of Ron in Raleigh. Okay, then. Jack in Shreveport asks, hey, remember a disaster a while ago when stores were IDing people and wouldn't give water to immigrants? Yeah, I do. Because after all, this is Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe under God. Absolutely. Like I said before, jump on into the Friday on the Front Porch conversation if you wish, and we'll see where the conversation takes us. Let's run on over now and check in. Let's check in with Steve from Georgistan. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Bob. What's going on, man?
It's Friday, man.
I hear you, brother. I was watching that addiction that you watch this morning. I don't know if you caught it or not, but
sadly,
some
yes.
Poor soul at, yeah, some poor, they interviewed some as a father, and he had a 6-year-old son, and he's like, well, we decided we're just gonna ride her out. I'm thinking, you fool, why would you do that, knowing that you got Armageddon getting ready to rain down on your head? You won't be with that power. It's going to get hot as hell. The thing's going to meander, and you could get a 1-2 punch. It could come back and hit you again.
And I mean, I'm trying to be sort of
I know about protecting your property and all that.
I'm trying to take into account that there are a whole lot of poor people in Texas. And I don't know what you do.
But this didn't seem like a poor person. I mean, he had a nice house. He seemed like a person of decent means.
Okay.
He could have got out if he wanted to. He just decided he was going to stay there, him and his six-year-old, and experience the experience of a hurricane.
Okay, then that guy's a dangerous fool.
You can't even get out of your own way. My God.
But I remember, I think it was actual film footage at the time. What was it? Hurricane Camille, 1969, slammed the living shit out of Biloxi, Mississippi. And there were people. there were people who were. Filmed, and later either found or not found, but they decided that they would ride out the hurricane by having a hurricane party and just get drunk and watch the storm come in. And it seems
it seems like there's
always some of them.
There was a movie with Frank Sutton. Remember Sergeant Carter? They made a movie out of that, and he starred in that. I remember that. Or they thought they was just going to have a big, big fun with it. This isn't something to fun around with.
No, it's not. I have loved ones on the Gulf Coast, and they do. They don't. You know, when it's headed toward, they don't fool around. They get out.
Right, by hook or crook, they're out of there. You know, just. As far away
and,
as they
but,
can
and
possibly
the thing, and,
get.
But the thing is, you don't wait till like now.
It's too late now. Now you might as well just hunker down.
Well, I mean, I saw footage. Well, if you were watching the same thing I was watching, I saw footage this morning of a massive traffic jam just heading up out of the Texas Gulf Coast area. And well, I mean, I don't live under those kind of conditions, so I don't know.
Right. Well, I'm far enough inland where I experienced diving, but it had died down to a tropical storm. We had 70 miles of sustained winds. That was enough for me. You know, and that went on for about 12 hours. I'm like, I don't know how these people do it. And Ivan went up, exited Maine, came back around. And you can look at the chart on Wikipedia, its path. Come back through the Gulf, turn back into a tropical storm. And re-slammed into Texas again. I mean,
re-energized, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
It does happen.
But I mean, you're kind of in the hills there, so you're
right.
You're sort of like me. You don't
right.
experience the tornado problem as profoundly as some other southern areas do. But you know what? When people
feeder bands, yeah, will cause spinoffs. Yeah, absolutely, little mini tornadoes, and they're deadly too.
But the thing is, when you see one of those suckers coming, people generally know to get the hell out of the way. They don't stand around and say, "Well, I think I'm going to sit here and ride out the tornado."
I just want to experience it. Never experienced me a tornado, for I don't get the mentality of folks, Bob. And if this doesn't prove that. Al Gore and it's not even a theory anymore, it's science. This doesn't prove that these folks are onto something. I don't know what does, man. Just keep burying your head in the sand.
Well, the thing is, under the climate change models we have now, Steve, which many scientists now say was actually overly conservative, and things may be far worse than we expected. But under those models, what used to be 500-year floods are now, every two or three decades floods. What used to be 1,000-year floods are 100-year floods. And as you look at that Gulf Coast, and it just breaks my heart because it's one of my favorite places on the whole planet.
The water is beautiful. The people are nice. I mean,
it's just
a nice place to go.
And you just look at the maps, and it's gone because we're not going to do a damn thing about it. And the Mississippi Delta area where, you know, where Louisiana just kind of peters out off into the Gulf down there, it's been disappearing for ages.
Sure.
And the thing is, the Mississippi River is actually, you know, at a river delta, you build land, you don't lose it, but we're losing it.
And a lot of those marshes, like out in front of Louisiana, actually help break these storms up, which they're being lost by just football fields, maybe even more a day.
And the whole region, you know, from Mexico up around Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and the same thing goes for the Atlantic coast. You know, there are barrier islands. That's what right. Nag's Head and Kitty Hawk and all those little islands out there extended from the mainland in the low country. That's what those all are.
And do you know what the water temperature is out there, Bob? 86 degrees.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, that's fueling the hell out. I mean, that's bath water. That's a hot bath.
I walked into the, I didn't go far because while we were at the beach, a family arrived, literally the day they arrived, from Ohio, 17-year-old boy and his 11-year-old brother. Woohoo! We made it to the beach. Cause you know, from Ohio to, the Alabama Gulf Coast, is every, you know, it's as far as, you know, here. It's
quite
a long
slip,
damn drive.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've been waiting, you're waiting, you're going to the beach, you're going to the beach, you're going to the beach, you're going to the beach. And they ran into the water and were never seen again.
Oh, my God. A rip current got them?
Well, there have been horrible rip tides all summer long. And, you know, they put the flags up. But nobody bothers to learn what the flags mean.
And if you don't know how to deal with one, it will kill you. You swim parallel with the
right. You don't
contour,
you don't fight
know?
It.
You don't
it
try
will,
to fight it. Right.
It will drown.
Win.
But you know when panic right. sets in, the human brain doesn't
you,
work
you lose,
very well.
Right. Right. You lose your.
And they found them. They found the two boys 3 or 4 days later somewhere down around Texas.
That's horrible. I know that put a damper on your stay. Just one more comment, Bob, and I'll let you move on to somebody else. I think global warming was a stupid thing to call this phenomenon. It should have been called extreme climate change. Because global warming, then you got idiots like Inhofe taking snowballs out on the Senate floor. You
well,
know?
But see, that was a response to the previous idea that maybe we might be entering another ice age. So they wanted to counter that notion. And you can't call it what it really should have been called all along, was climate catastrophe. Because this is going to be catastrophic. Whether you've got too much
right.
too much sun, too much water, too much heat, too much rain, too much cold, too much, it is a climatic catastrophe.
Well, jet streams are shifting. You got icebergs the size of continents breaking off. This is Armageddon, and it's almost too late. We may have screwed the pooch. I don't know if we can reverse it at this point. Now, I don't mean to sound all doomy and gloomy. I'm a fairly optimistic person. I think that's where we're at.
Well, where we're at, as far as I'm concerned, Steve, is a place, a place where it would take a supreme act of will on the part of any government.
And it would take worldwide.
And we try to get worldwide cooperation.
And we're the ones that back out.
And we got pretty close to it. And then Trump.
Trump, yep. It would take worldwide cooperation. Then and maybe only then could you reverse this. And it would be a slow road out. You know, it wouldn't happen in a year or two. May give hope to our
and that's and that's the, and, that, and as I've said before, that's the curse of it. And in a way, it goes back to what I said about the difference between a tornado and a hurricane. People say, well, I think I'll just sit here and ride out the hurricane. I've never been through one of them. And then, you know, they find their bodies floating face down in the kitchen. I'm
laughing to keep from crying, you know.
But if it's a tornado, people go, shit, I'm going to get out of the way of that sumbitch.
Look at that. Look like a buzzsaw. Yeah.
Sound like a freight train. And that's what we face with climate change. people say, well, you know, I mean, the hurricanes happen. But they don't ask, why do they seem to be getting stronger? Why do there seem to be more of them? And it's the old frog in a pot business, if that's even true. That's apocryphal. A frog will try to hop out. But
eventually, sure.
Right. But that's what we're facing.
It's a discussion that needs to be had, and mountaintop removal and all this, it all ties together. That's what you can't get these right-wing assholes to understand. It all ties together, and we are destroying our environment, and what we're doing is very cruel to our kids. I don't have kids, but I do have nieces and nephews and our grandkids and beyond. It's not fair. It's a very selfish thing what we're perpetrating. So that's all I got for now, Bob.
Well, and I have a feeling we'll come back around to it. I apologize. I had a note here saying that that Bob Dylan tune "Buckets of Rain" was mean. I was not trying to be mean, but they're gonna get buckets of rain. They're gonna get barrels. They're gonna get Jesus, really? Three?
Was it mean?
Three feet of rain?
It was on topic. It was poignant. You didn't mean it to be mean. You're not a mean person.
But
I can't speak for you.
But here's another thing to take into account. And I know this because, like I said, I've got loved ones down on the Gulf Coast. All summer long down there. And you know, this time of year, you expect, I mean, it really, you expect about, you know, 3-4 in the afternoon, a bunch of clouds going to roll in, pile up. You know, moist air hitting the land, cooling off, boom, big clouds, big thunderstorm, over in 30 minutes, and then the land just, you know, bakes in its own steam until the next one, the next day.
Nah, back to the beach, yeah,
exactly. But not this summer. It has been nothing but rain this summer. I mean, constant rain all along the Gulf Coast. So my point, Steve, is that if down there in Texas is anything like further up the Gulf Coast toward Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, everything is saturated. I mean, where I was, there was nowhere that didn't squish.
It's like that here in Georgia. It's drying up a bit now, Bob, but it was like living in the tropics up to about 2 weeks ago. Every day was just rain, 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 rain. You look out and there's moisture on the windows. So it's a phenomenon that I've never experienced before, and I've been here since 96.
And down there, if everything is already saturated, what's going to happen? What is going to happen with? Where's the water going to go? It's not going to soak up.
And Rick just broke in. Harvey just hit Cat 4, so this thing's getting worse. But Bob, I'm going to jump out of here for now. But I'll be back.
Okay. Well, you know, stick around. You know, don't go change the oil or anything. We've got a lot to talk about.
We do. And it's nice talking to you. It really was. And I'll be back.
Always a pleasure. Stick around, Steve.
All right.
Yeah, we got a good group in here. Let's check in. Let's check in with Silent R. Lamar. Hey, Lamar.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm not on the Texas Gulf Coast.
Well, like I say, I got folks in Texas. Like I say, being a descendant of slave owners, my grandfather didn't get the 40 acres and the mule. We got 20 acres and a little extra. And I'm concerned about the Texas thing because my folks, Big Mama's house is up on the hill, so she's fine. But I'm more worried about my cousins who are on lower land. And like anything that's talking about Shreveport, my family lives about 60 miles from Shreveport. And hurricanes and all that tropical weather don't have a distance.
They're so huge that they can cover a lot of distance in very little time. Jack, who just kicked in this evening, Jack's sitting there in Shreveport, and if this thing does that ping pong ball thing, or pinball thing, and goes bing, and then comes out and re-strengthens, and then goes in again, the entire state of Louisiana was covered up.
Yeah, but you know what? Like Senator Kennedy says, when does the greed stop? And what we're suffering from right now as a nation is greedy people who have gained control of our country. You were talking about another guy earlier who's talking about, well, these people won't leave and they all this other stuff. What is the problem in preparing for those who can't move or those who will not move? If you had a mechanism in to save all people for the worst case agenda, you wouldn't have this problem. But it's not cost effective to these people. That's the problem.
Well, that's where the old cost benefit analysis. That's where the old cost benefit analysis comes in, and a lot of people wind up. Right.
I'm how many people have to go ahead?
I was just going to say, just to run a field from this topic. If we're looking for stuff to contribute to our ongoing ulcer building over the course of the weekend, there will be more hand wringing and pearl clutching over the fact that North Korea set off a few bottle rockets here in the last little bit.
Well, like I say, North Korea is playing Trump as a butthole. And all the people who are following him will be clustered in that fuck, okay? Because I'm like this. North Korea knows where it stands. It knows what it will do. And it knows what will happen if they were to attack anybody. Our president has managed to make us, has separated us from the realm of countries to respect. We're not respected. We are actually feared. And all these Trump pants, whatever, these Trump followers.
Maggots.
Do you yes, I like that one. Do they really think that America can stop the world from attacking us? Do they really contemplate that issue? Yes, we have more nuclear weapons. Yes, we have all this. We have all that. But what if everybody decide to attack us, how will we stop them? Has that question ever fell into their head? I'm like, even the bully understands if the whole playground teams up against him, he can't win. Why turn the playground against you? That's my question to you, Bob.
Yeah, well, because there's a mindset that obtains among certain hawkish Republicans that says it is better to be feared than to be loved. And, you know, I don't care if they respect us as long as they fear us. That, you know, that was actually enunciated back during the Reign of Error under Dim Leader and Count Dicula. We don't care if they respect us as long as they fear us.
There's lots
of empires you can look to in history that took that attitude as well. And guess what? Those empires don't exist
anymore.
They're
no longer on the planet. When you fear is not the way to go. I can understand you don't have to love everybody, but you do have to respect. If North Korea wants to be recognized as a superpower, let them be recognized as a superpower. How the fuck does that affect you? It doesn't. And that's the same. I look at these people right now screaming and hollering about gays, transvestites, and all this. You've seen the movie. I know you watched Clint Eastwood, Outlaw Josie Wales.
Oh, sure.
Remember that one scene where the Kansas Jayhawk woman says, "I can't stand nothing out of Missouri and all this other stuff." And then when Clint starts killing Indians and making agreements and saving her punk ass, she's, "Oh, thank God for Josie Lee Wales." I'm like, that's the same bullshit I'm listening to right now. I understand the Civil War. It's like any conflict. You have portions and areas that were fighting for survival, not necessary for a damn flag. And I've listened to a lot of people talk about, well, if you're going to take down the rebel stuff, let's get rid of the Negro situation. I'm like, if you don't want Martin Luther King highways in your area, get rid of the bitches. But take down your shit. Because you got to understand, Negroes have never had nothing. So to take away Martin Luther King Boulevard or Cesar Chavez Boulevard, we won't sweat it because that's new. It has only happened in the 80s. Well, I take it back, the 90s. Martin Luther King Boulevards were not erected until after 90-something.
Well, I heard an interview with Andrew Young the other day, who was arguing for a little bit of appeasement, I guess, saying, look, this is a right wing government full of hateful right wing bigots, and they're not
I agree.
And they're not coming around, and they take extreme umbrage at this, and so they'll want to take down all our monuments next. And that,
right.
I mean, that, and that was his argument. So you're saying, you know, let him go. Well, let me move around the rest of the room, and then we'll get the free,
sure.
We'll get the freewheeling conversation going here as we continue.
Yes.
Let me check in with Charlie there. Hey, Charlie.
Come on, Charlie.
I had to take it off mute.
I understand. That's why I was waiting quietly and patiently. How you doing, Charlie?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. I don't think people realize, you know, in Texas, a lot of that soil does not soak up water very well, and it's on level ground, and you get 20 inches of rain, you're screwed.
Well, yeah, but they're talking 30.
Oh, is it gone up to 30 now?
Yeah, okay. I mean, it could be 3 feet of freaking rain.
Yeah, ooh. Yeah, that's going to make a mess. And it's gonna get all the way over to San Antonio, down to Laredo and Nuevo Laredo. It's going to, down into Mexico. It's going to, you know, that whole area down there is, I mean, I don't think people understand how big of an area this is going to cover.
It's huge. And mm-hmm. again, that pinball effect. I hope it doesn't do that. God, if it does.
Yeah.
And out of it all, the fact that this Trump regime is absolutely not ready for it. I personally think because he is the most presidential president we've ever had, just ask him, he'll tell you, he should probably just go down there and tell the hurricane to turn around and go to Mexico.
Well, I tell you, I was really impressed with USA Today yesterday. You know, there are people that are actually starting to wake up and realize the man's crazy.
Well, it depends. It depends on I guess maybe you're a little more of an optimist than I am, because I'm going to wait for evidence of that. That turning around.
Oh, it's going to take a while, but I mean, you know, Trump's going to, he's going to start doing things and it's going to start screwing things up. And, you know, he's going to get us into some messes we're not going to be able to get out of very easily. And then I think the people will wake up. It might take him a year or two, but, you know, it's, and, you know, the people voted for the man, and they're getting what they deserve.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to something like a hurricane, I think about that line from Silent R. Lamar brought up Clint Eastwood. I think about that line from Unforgiven: "Deserving's got nothing to do with it."
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Hey, I've got some good news to announce. We are down to $105 to go. Thanks very kindly to Texas Tea and to Alma. Thank you very, very, very kindly. We're down to $105 to go to meet all the challenges that are on the table. Note coming in from Keith. If only I could call you. I wish you could, Keith. I mean, Skype. Keith says, these storms are nowhere ever's near fun. The wife and I survived Rita. Notice the use of the word survived. And, you know, I've had people tell me who live down there that what gets you after a while is the noise. As you're in the middle of one of these things, the wind and the rain just continue to howl, and it's like a beast, and it's loud, and it won't stop. Hey, Lamar, if you're not when you're not talking,
I'm sorry.
Be like Charlie and kind of mute.
Sorry about that.
No worries. But the noise, and it goes on for hours and hours and hours and hours. And what I was told is that after a while, you just begin to sit there and a loop begins to run through your head. When will this noise end? When will it end? When will it end? When will it end? And I've never been through anything like that. I mean, when the nasty ass storm blew over the hill in 2012, it did. It sounded like an angry animal for about, you know, for about 3 minutes, and then it was gone.
I wonder when the religious people, the holy rollers and all, are going to start up like the Westboro Baptist Church used to do and say, well, these people deserve this. They're getting the wrath of God, and I wonder what they're going to blame it on.
Oh, there's always some of those. There's always some of those, Charlie. Did you enjoy the eclipse?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you had a pretty much prime viewing location, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We were down in the dog lot and watching it from down there in the apartment complex I live in.
Okay, well, let's...
we got a pretty...
I was going to say, just to keep things rolling, let's run over and let's check in with Billable Rick. Billable Rick had a challenge to put on the table, which would make things even better than they already are. Hey, Billable Rick. He'll unmute in a minute. I heard a click. Rick?
Yeah, he's here. We've been texting back and forth. He just shot me a text. Come on, Rick.
Go on back and talk to Teddy Bear.
No, I want to hear Bobo Rick.
Is anybody there? He's here. I just shot him a text.
Oh, okay, man. Yeah, he may be the Phantom 409 tonight.
I got a kind of a legal thing. I want him to weigh in on.
Well, I got one too. That's why.
Yeah, that's good.
And the thing is, it's a catching up thing. It's a catching up legal thing, or a following up legal thing.
This kind of couches what we were talking about last night, and I just want to get him to weigh in since he is a brilliant attorney. I mean, we're lucky here at the Horn, you know? We have all these brilliant minds.
And that's what makes Fridays so daggum much fun.
Yep. So, Rick, are you out there? He's typing me now. He may be having mic problems.
This is West Virginia calling. Are we reaching?
that's from the wall, isn't it?
Yes. And they actually, and that was back in the days of transatlantic phone calls, and they actually made.
Right.
This is Mr. Floyd calling Mrs. Floyd. Are we reaching?
All right. He's saying his webcam was unplugged. He wants to get his technical assistant, his son, here to get him going again. So,
hey, nothing like having children.
If there's anybody else you can go to, Bob, Rick will be here momentarily.
Because I'm adding Steve, Brother Usher Steve from New York, and Scott in San Diego, where there are no hurricanes.
No, no. Actually, I lived in Corpus Christi. I was sitting here trying to figure out when it was, and it was in the very early 90s. I remember Vincent Price died when I lived there, and I remember Nixon died. So that was like 93 and 94.
Well, I guess there's a lot of people glad you don't live in Corpus Christi anymore. Apparently it's terminal.
Oh, it's, well, no, no, I'm thinking just for, in terms of the weather.
No, you moved, no, but you moved to Corpus Christi, Richard Nixon dies in New York, you know. It's that whole Peking butterfly effect.
No, that's how I keep track of things. I don't remember time frames in some cases very easily, but I can remember events that occurred outside of my own life at the time when I was at a particular place. I know it's weird, but that's the way my head is wired. But even under the best of circumstances, weather-wise, Corpus Christi is batshit crazy.
That's how I do.
Now, I grew up in D.C., which is just outside of D.C., which is a city built on a fucking swamp, basically. And there's a good bit of humidity in Washington, D.C. And I thought I knew all about humid weather, living in D.C. and then in Kansas City, okay?
No. You were just an amateur.
Jesus, I got to Corpus Christi, and you had opened the front door or the car door, and it was like getting hit, like walking into a wall of something. It was incredible. I never saw anything like it. And the cockroaches down there, I think that some of them had jockeys on them, okay? And the mosquitoes had numbers painted on the wings. I mean, they say everything's bigger in Texas, but and humidity certainly was. And the cockroaches, I guess they were cockroaches the size of my thumb. And I don't
those
have
are,
Donald
those
Trump.
Those are called palmetto bugs.
Okay, well, I don't have Donald Trump hands, but I don't have exceedingly large hands. But they were bigger than my thumb, okay?
Yeah.
Whatever they are, they were.
They live in trees, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
But they will
sure
try.
They
will try to get into other places. It's, yeah. I've seen cats run from them.
Well, the cats that I had, their honor was at stake. If one ever got in the house, they definitely would. I had a bunch of cats at the time, my ex-wife and I, and they would. You could almost see them strategizing, like a football play on a chalkboard. You know, X's and O's, figuring out. Well, the bug is here, so we'll run the defense around here, or offense, or whatever. But geez. So, yeah, needless to say, I'm very happy not to be in Corpus Christi. I have a niece and her family who live in Houston, and hopefully they're north enough and east enough to where it may not affect them quite as badly. But right there on the Gulf, I mean, Padre Island, hell, kiss that. You talk about what did you call the land off of North Carolina, those islands?
Oh, Barrier Islands.
Yeah, well, Padre Island on the Gulf there, just south
is exactly
of Corpus
Christi. Padre Island is no different from the Barrier Island there off the Alabama, Mississippi, Florida coast.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, that sand that's whiter than domino sugar, you know, all of that.
But earlier I was, Lamar almost stole my thunder, but he didn't quite. Earlier I was flipping through Facebook, and I noticed a post by our friend Tracy, the lady cab driver in Los Angeles, and she notes that Trump has no one in charge of FEMA or NOAA, just in time for hurricane season. And I commented, I said, to paraphrase a line from the film Titanic, clusterfuck, dead ahead. And that's what it's going to be, boys and girls. Mark my words. because he can't get his damn nose out of Twitter long enough to pay attention to anything around him, up to and including, I understand, Mueller has put out subpoenas for people to come in and testify about Paul Manafort. The thing is going to start crumbling because there have been enough threads pulled that we are engaged in the process of the unraveling. Let's just put it that way. And it may take a while, but I'm confident with a little luck we'll get there.
Yeah. Well, Punky is at the right side of Mueller, right, Scott?
What do you mean?
Punky the puppeteer. Right?
Punky knows nothing. Punky is the Sergeant Schultz of the bird world.
Don't say that about
you. He knows nothing. No, he's a lovely little bird. He did the most remarkable thing last night, and I've never seen him do it. I thought he had had one of his spells that he gets every now and then. Oh, God, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm sitting here looking at 77 Sunset Strip, okay? And I hear him kind of shriek, and I see him fall to the right of his cage onto the floor.
Jesus.
Yeah. Whoa. And he walks out from under the stand that his cage is on, and I pick him up, and I say, "You okay, buddy?" And he flew back to the top of his cage, which he wouldn't do if he had had one of his spells. But apparently the poor little bastard fell asleep at the edge of the cage, sitting on top of it, and just fell the fuck off. You know,
he just tipped over.
After he got settled back on top of his cage and was acting, he does like cats do. They act like if a cat does something stupid, like slips or loses their footing, they act as if, well, that didn't happen. You know,
I meant to do that.
Yeah, exactly. he was pulling one of those acts. And I said, by the way, Punky, next time you've got wings. You've got two perfectly good fucking wings. You can, if you have a mind, you can do circle eights above the room. Okay. Figure eights. Okay. You've got wings, buddy. Come on.
But anyway,
go ahead.
Scott, there's a cartoon where Bugs Bunny watched Daffy Duck fall to the end of a gully, and he says, "Does he remember he can fly?"
Okay, he hits
the ground.
Let's circle back. Let's circle back around to Billable Rick for a minute here.
Because
we're at $105. From meeting the extant challenges, and Bill Barrick, you just threw another $25 challenge into the mix, so that makes it 130, right?
Yeah, and if it's met, I'll throw in another 25 for a total of 50 from me.
Oh, 2-1. Okay, so
2-1. Yeah.
So I'm just kind of keeping these things in the order they came in. So if we can get another 105 in, that'll need all the previous challenges, and then that'll leave a $25 challenge on the table, which, if met, will then result in you kicking in another 25, which is freaking awesome.
I'd be happy to. Please, people, contribute to Bob. We need this voice on the air.
It's not contributing to Bob. It's contributing to keep this on the air. I mean, you know, we're not
the horn.
We're not buying. You know, all the Gulfstream Maybach business is a joke.
Really?
Yeah, sadly. Bob, I hate to admit it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, there's no Maybach, man. I'm sorry.
Do you mean to say there's no Santa Claus?
There ain't no sanity clause.
Oh, damn. Oh, well.
I'm not putting myself on a pedestal, but I give till it hurts. I do, man, because we've got to keep this going.
Do you know how long it's been since little Cletus and little Twiggy actually had a milk bone? You disappeared for the eclipse and you pimped him out to the kennel, didn't you?
I have gotten him the best choice, or the Laura Lynn milk bones, so I could contribute more to the horn. So,
speaking of which, we talk about commercials and stuff. You know, all those years of watching Rachel Ray on Food Channel say, and now we'll use a little splash of the EVOO. Well, lo and behold, it turns out
extra virgin olive oil.
It's EVOO. And we're gonna saute a little duck in the EVOO, a little quack quack, and all of those and all of that stuff. And lo and behold, now you turn on the TV and you find out she was working out dog food recipes. Rachel Ray Nutrish. Nutrition for your furry friends.
She's a hamburger helper chef at best, you know.
But I tell you what, it turned out to be some damn fine dog food. That's the whole thing.
Don't knock her dog food. I've tried it.
It's human quality. It's human quality.
I'm going to stay out of this one.
Outside of biting the mailman and getting hit by a car I was chasing, I suffered no ill effects at all.
I mean, it was crunchy, okay, and it was crunchy, and it was piquant with the aroma of watercress. Watercress in the dog food, absolutely, and some EVOO.
And Scott, you didn't have a tendency to scratch your left ear with your right foot or anything, or
no? But I had the damnedest urge to lick my balls. I don't know.
But that was before the dog food, right?
Yeah, I agree with you on that one, Bob.
I'd never know if I could do that.
I think he needs a foghorn for that one, not a cowbell.
Yeah, he do need a cowbell for that one.
As they call it in D.C., pulling a Steve Bannon.
Okay, so let's loop back around one more time to Billable Rick.
Absolutely.
Before that, I have great news. Courtesy of a dear friend in the great Northwest. There's $5 left in the rest of the challenges, and then Billable Rick, your challenge kicks in.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
So that's very, very good indeed.
So where does that leave us at technically? Bottom line, Bob.
That leaves us with $30 in challenges to go.
Oh. That's good.
Counting Billable Rick's. And Billable Rick's challenge, by the way, has a name. We had the Cash a Check challenge to get started and the Nudge the Norsky a Little Harder challenge to get started. Ralph's jumped in with the Ralph's challenge. Now, Billable Rick, yours had a name, too. It was the Insane Clown Posse Billable Challenge, because you have billed an insane 48 hours. You billed 33 hours out of 48 out of a 48 hour time frame, two all night.
And that includes knocking five of those billables off. So I really did 38 out in 48 hours.
Jesus, but you're not going to go see the Insane Clown Posse at the Greek or anything, right?
I don't have the energy for that. I've had like four. I just got 4 hours of sleep earlier today. I came home from after doing two all nighters.
Oh, we're going to have a lovely conversation.
I got 4 hours of sleep, so I have full energy. I'm ready to go party now.
Oh, the walls are breathing. Yeah, breathing.
I started to see out of the corner of my eye last night, like kind of like little green lights occasionally, and I'm sure that was an effect of sleep deprivation.
And I can happily announce that your challenge has now been met, Billable Rick. Thank you, thank you, Gary. Thank you, very kindly, Gary. So, I'll be damned. With an hour and 5 minutes to go in the program, it's another one of those little. Friday on the front porch, human-made miracles. So,
yay! Hey, how do you do a challenge?
Well, you put up, you say, I'll double, triple, quadruple, whatever. You know, if people kick in X amount of money, I'll double it or I'll triple it or what. That's how you do a challenge.
Okay, so, well, I had to get with you on that because I've been meeting other people challenges. I would like to put my own out there one day.
Okay, I think that would be absolutely fine. You are more than welcome to.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, Lamar, you're from the LA area, right?
Man, I'm so close to you, I could jab slap you, man. You ain't that funny.
I'm 15 miles due north of LA, downtown LA. That's where I live, and I work.
We're in downtown LA.
No, he's 15 miles due north.
I'm in the foothills.
Okay. I'm in the Willowbrook area right now.
Okay. Okay.
And I do so much business down in L.A., downtown, so I know where you're at.
Yeah, I actually... I'm about 2 miles east of Santa Monica where I work. It's on the west side off of the 405 near Olympic here to get rid of...
Okay. Oh, God, here we go with the damn numbers.
I know where you're at because... When I used to work in Century City, I got stopped by driving while black. Oh, I guess the Beverly Hills cops stopped me over there on Santa Monica and Avenue of the Stars.
I've gotten pulled over by the Beverly Hills cop for not having vehicle like stickers on my car, like in
really?
The when I was a student.
Really?
Yeah. They'd hassle me for that, and they would give me what they call a fix-a ticket, and of course,
you mean you didn't get pulled over for your shoes and belt not coordinating with your pants and shirt or something? I mean, it's Beverly Hills, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I almost did get pulled over for glowing in the dark because I'm like, well, I'm not quite as white as you, Bob. I'm more of maybe olive skin, but yeah, I'm definitely a white boy, you know.
I really want to touch on that, but I'm gonna let that one lay where it landed.
You know,
okay,
I think let's don't and say we didn't. By the way, I've been told officially by Kelly to lay off Rachel Ray. My dog loves her food.
I can go for.
Well,
that.
I mean, I used to watch the program. I can see, you know, and oh, what a puppy too. Over on Facebook, we've all watched Kelly's puppy grow up. She's this extraordinarily adorable chocolate lab and who like eats things besides Rachel
Ray
food, right? Do I have that right,
couches?
Kelly? Yeah.
Does the dog eat couches and dining room tables and so forth or not?
I'll wait to see if Kelly wants to tell tales on her puppy. I'm not going to do it.
Go ahead, Rick.
Hi, doggy. Yeah.
Come on, no. Bob. You were watching Rachel Ray's puppies. Come on. Let's be honest.
Shut up.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, you're trying.
Hey,
no, see, we got an hour and 2 minutes left in this program, Steve from Georgia Stan, and I am not going to let you drag it into the gutter yet.
Yeah, we're going to get there eventually. But you know what?
Any fart jokes, anybody?
Stop that. Stop that, you. You with the insane
clown. It's dinner time at East Coast. Right?
Yeah, watch out. Somebody will spray you down with some damn Faygo, okay?
No disrespect, man. Just trying to be quiet.
Let me jump in here. We've heard from everybody but Brother Usher Steve in New York. Hey, Steve.
Come on, Steve.
He'll be here in a minute. You got to unmute. Takes a second. No. Okay, Steve. Okay. He grayed out there for a minute.
Hello?
Yeah, there's Steve.
Oh, sorry. I don't get the Skype. I don't understand the interface. I don't ever use it. So, no, I actually called in because I know Steve mentioned something about something legalish, and I figured I might as well.
That's true. So, Steve from Georgia Stan, Steve from New York. What's the legally thing we were talking about that you want to bring back up?
All right.
Rick, you got Rick and me here, so.
Yeah, awesome. I'll weigh in as well.
Awesome, and I appreciate you guys. Last night, there seemed to be some ambiguity about impeachment, and I just wanted to cover this to make sure that I understood it right, and we're projecting it correctly. Concerning impeachment, it's analogous to the House to like a regular court proceedings after reviewing the evidence, and then it requires a simple majority to proceed to the Senate, and when it goes to the Senate, it transforms into a form of a trial, which you would have currently Chief Justice Roberts presiding, you know, providing Mueller provided enough evidence.
And it doesn't even depend on Mueller. I mean, you asked Rick and Steve. I'm going to jump in here real quick. It takes a simple majority to impeach in the House, and then in the Senate, the whole body of the Senate sits as the jury, the trier of fact. And the people who brought the impeachment in the House act as the prosecutor. And where it's a simple majority vote, it's just like a grand jury.
It's an indictment. What they take to the House is similar to an indictment.
It is
correct?
Similar.
Except in a political sense.
Right, and that was...
Impeachment is purely a political remedy for, you know, to basically try and, as a first step towards removing the chief executive of the U.S.
Right, and after they take it to the House subcommittee, and if they think there's any there, then they will put it to the whole House for a simple majority vote.
Yeah, simple up or down vote, right.
Right.
That's how it's supposed to be done, but it doesn't necessarily have to go through any subcommittee. You can just introduce articles of impeachment right on the House floor if the Speaker of the House would allow that to be put on the floor, and then you have an up or down vote right there.
Yeah,
but it could be done that way. There's really no set rules. I mean, yeah, it should first go to the House, the Select
Judiciary
Committee. Judiciary Committee. There you go, Steve. Yeah. They had a Select Committee with regard to Nixon because of the Watergate investigation, but normally
just go through the judiciary. I mean, on its face, it sounds so simple, but it's very convoluted when you start digging down into this thing, you know, for the average common man that doesn't practice law like me.
The thing is, I cannot overemphasize the validity of what Billable Rick said. It is a political process. It is not a legal process per se. I mean, there'll be lawyers involved, and there'll be minority counsel and majority counsel in the House, yada, yada, yada. I mean, lawyers got to work, man. But when it comes down to it, it's the standard is more likely than not. It's more likely than not that the president did these things. If you get a simple majority vote along those lines, then it goes over to the Senate. The Senate sits as a jury, and they have a trial. But the one thing to remember in all of this, and I think Steve and Billable Rick will agree with me here, every impeachment is entirely an ad hoc process.
Mm-hmm.
That means
that means the
Congress is not in any sense bound by previous impeachments, and in fact, go ahead, go ahead.
But according to everything I've researched, each side has the right to call witnesses and perform cross-examinations. And after the hearing, the charges, the Senate usually deliberates in private, and then they will decide if it meets the two-third threshold. And if it does, then the removal process can take place. And that's where I screwed up last night. I got one word can sink you.
Yeah, you had the two-thirds over in the House.
No, I had the two-thirds in the Senate, but I used the word impeachment instead of removal. And that's what sunk me last night.
So, Steve, let me jump here and get to the issue I think you were thinking of. What happens if Trump is impeached by the House and he is convicted by the Senate and he's told to get his ass out of there, so if he's effectively removed... But all the Trumpansies surround the White House, and Trump refuses to go. What do we do then? Is that your question?
That was one of my questions to you, Rick, and I have it written down here. Upon conviction, is there a lag time, or is the removal immediate?
Let's we got to distinguish between physical removal and what happens upon conviction, he is no longer president. Whether he leaves the White House, that's one thing.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
At that point, Pence is president, or whoever's vice president is president.
Once they're sworn in. They've got to be sworn in as the president then.
Steve and Rick, I've got an observation, and having been to the White House since my brother used to work there in the Secret Service, if you've ever seen pictures, if you've never actually been, at every outside door entrance from the outside into any part of the White House, whether it's the West Wing or the mansion, there's a Marine guard standing there with a pistol on their, as a sidearm on their hip.
In case my call drops, the black helicopters are circling out of my outside of my house, guys.
Well, I'm wondering, Scott, what, if any, role would those Marine guards play if the Judiciary Committee brings the articles of impeachment, the House impeaches, and the Senate convicts? If Trump decides to lock the door,
we've never been there, so we're treading in new water.
Well, here's something.
Here's my rationale. I would think normally the Marine Guard's job is to keep bad people out. It would kind of stand a reason, to my feeble mind, that another aspect of their job would be to remove people who no longer have a right to be on the premises.
Can I get a word in?
Well, let's hold on here. Scott's wandered off into some, not wandered, but gone off into some pretty esoteric territory.
He brought up a good point.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. It seems cut and dry on its surface, but you can really get in the weeds if you start studying this thing.
Well,
you know,
the thing is, what you could do is, if Trump refuses to vacate the White House, I mean, he's no longer a president. He's a private citizen. He's basically... he's now
trespassing,
stay over tenant, whatever the hell you call it. He's squatting in the White House. Not that he isn't already, but he's a squatter. And so they could, they could have the sergeant arms
and physically remove him.
Well, okay, so
Congress
time out.
Find him in contempt of Congress.
Time out, guys. Time out.
We're getting ahead of ourselves, and I know this.
Well, no. All of this is fascinating, but there's breaking news. That son of a bitch just pardoned Joe Arpaio.
Oh, jeez. Well, I'm not surprised.
See, he's probably setting precedent to pardon his own damn self, you know?
Is that
an overreach? Or?
He's supposed to be in jail on criminal contempt based on the fact that he defied a federal judge who told him to stop detaining people based on suspicion of their immigration status. Especially when there was no evidence that they had broken so much as a jaywalking law. He was just rounding people up. This fucker's a miserable goddamn Nazi. Okay? That's Nazi behavior. Can we agree?
And, well, it's a Nazi pardoning a Nazi. I mean, who's surprised? You know?
Does that raise a constitutional question, though, if a member of the federal judiciary finds some person in contempt, in this case Arpaio, and that is a bona fide ruling, can the chief executive of another branch of the government supersede that? I mean, I understand the right of pardon, but at the same time, couldn't that be called into question, and couldn't a case be taken back into the judiciary at some level and maybe eventually go all the way up to the Supremes?
Now, that's a question for our lawyer friends. I don't know.
I would say no. You know what, Bob, I have a question. I didn't see the report, but what exactly, if given the scenario you just said, he was held in contempt. Contempt, particularly criminal contempt, is something that has to be... it has to be seen in the view of the court. So there's no conviction. So what exactly did he pardon him from, unless the guy was convicted of something?
Well, he was convicted of the misdemeanor criminal contempt, I believe.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he was. Like,
where?
Is it 6 months?
He was
it federal court?
Yes, it was federal.
Yeah.
District judge in Arizona.
Okay. I think the interesting thing will be is if the state, if any DA or the state court happens to take it up, because then they would be free to convict him under state law.
Separate sovereigns, I guess, is the theory.
Yes, that is.
No.
Yeah, the president has no jurisdiction to pardon somebody for state charge. It's the government.
And then there's no double jeopardy because of the dual sovereignty, separate sovereignty, like Rick just said.
I'll tell you what.
Let's go to the Constitution, shall we?
Sure.
Thank you, Bob.
Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1 of the Constitution of the United States states, the president shall have power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States, except in cases of impeachment.
Okay, that solves that.
So, to the extent that criminal contempt is an offense against the United States, and this was in a federal court, so I think it's rather unambiguous that that's the case, he has that power to pardon. The question is, what does it mean? What does it mean when you extend? To a guy who was found to be flagrantly violating not only the laws of the United States but of the Constitution itself?
Well, it means he got away with murder, Bob, metaphorically speaking.
And there's nothing we can do about it. We can't volley it back into the court somehow.
Sure, we can. If it's a state, you can get a state. You can get the DA. What is it, Maricopa County? The DA of Maricopa County or the Attorney General of Arizona charges him under state law that fuck Trump. Excuse me.
They could charge him.
I understand. It's a presidential pardon, final and
no, only for federal law. He just said offenses against the United States.
Perfect. Yeah, but wait. As with everything else in the Constitution, that extends to the states via.
Not via the 14th Amendment.
No, you don't think?
No. The 14th Amendment, the incorporation doctrine of the 14th Amendment applies to the Bill of Rights. It doesn't apply to the greater Constitution.
I think Bob was thinking the Supremacy Clause would, let's say, trump state law. But in this instance, if the state can point to a discrete violation of its statute that is not related to the federal criminal contempt conviction, I have an example here. For example, at least a couple of prisoners died under Arpaio's watch because of the brutal conditions in that prison. So the Maricopa County prosecutor, if they've got a prosecutor, or maybe it's the Phoenix prosecutor, could charge Joe Arpaio with, let's say, involuntary manslaughter or negligent homicide.
Negligent homicide, or something
like that, you know, as a result of the deaths of these prisoners under his watch. And in that instance, Trump can't do a goddamn thing because it's state law that you're operating under.
Can I get a word in?
Yeah, go ahead.
I would like to say, let's look at the larger picture. What is this saying to America, where the Republicans can break all laws and do all kinds of things, and let's see how well they do in the public sector eye?
Well,
by him pardoning Arpaio, he's just kicked everybody who believes in law and order in the teeth.
Well, but no, because IOKIYAR is not of recent vintage, Lamar. It's okay if you're a Republican, has applied for a very, very long time. All pigs are equal, but some pigs are more equal than other pigs.
But, you know, Bob, my response to the Republicans is their motto is do as I say, not as I do. I understand that fully. But I'm looking at the bigger picture. All the people who are watching what they're doing. Remember, there was a stench where they were out of power for 40 years. And this is how they got out of power, for the abuse of power that they project. And they are abusing power. Yes.
Lamar, you raise another point. I mean, you mentioned that it's the bigger picture. Well, there is an even bigger picture. It's not simply a case of what does it mean, what does it say that they've done that he's done this. It's the what factor is a big part of it. It's also the when factor. It's that thing where whenever they want to dump something into the news bin that they don't want a lot of attention to, when do they do it? After hours, Friday night. When do
I agree with you.
8 o'clock Friday. Eastern on a fucking Friday night.
Yes.
And it's on the end of their horrific response to a major hurricane, too, because, you know, the shit's going to be flying all weekend, and they need to distract people at least for now to win this news cycle.
Yeah.
Oh, but like, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, if Trump thought that God, so-called, was on his side in this choice to pardon Arpaio, they would have done it at noon. Or he would have tweeted about it that stay tuned at 9 o'clock this morning, I'm going to do thus and so, and you're going to hate it. Or whatever.
Hey, Scott. But,
yeah, go ahead.
Scott, can we agree that Trump is not the uniter, he's the great divider?
Oh, I have no doubt about that.
What he just did is divide the rest of this country to a point where we're going to have anarchy in the street. Believe me, we're going to have anarchy in the street because all the people who are against him giving that up and those who are right-wing are going to say, wait a minute, that's not really fair.
I don't agree.
Okay.
I don't even think
we're
it's
in America.
Abuse. I don't think it's an abuse of power either.
Nope.
Well,
no.
He used the power that he has.
Hold on,
Lamar, Steve, hold on. Let Steve from New York talk, please.
Okay, Steve.
Whether or not it's a judicious use of that power is one thing, but the fortunate or unfortunate thing is the president. Think about this: the president basically has a little bit of power here that really harkens back to the king. He gets to act like a king.
Yes. I agree with you with that 100%. But the point is, it's sublimative abuse of power. As he's working and he has demonstrated, he wants to be king of America. And you know, and I know, there's no such thing as a monarchy in America.
But Lamar, wanting to be king of America does not rise to high crimes and misdemeanor. And that's the quandary we find ourselves in. That's the way the founding fathers wanted this. They did not want an easy removal like they have in England where you could just be rescinded on a majority vote. And that's why we're in this freaking mess, you know?
Let me echo Steve here. And the more breaking news, by the way. So stand by. The presidential pardon power is as near an absolute power as the president is given. The president can pardon an absolute, unmitigated, 200-proof asshole. And there's really nothing can be done about it. It's a matter of presidential temperament and judgment. But the point that I think Lamar is getting at is, and you noted this, Steve, is, you know, whether it's judicious is, again, a political question and a cultural question and a social question, not a legal question. So he did this, in the dark and still of the night and hoping nobody would pay any attention because he said this week during his Mad Hatter's Tea Party in Phoenix that he was going to. I'm not going to do it tonight. But let me just say, Sheriff Joe is going to be okay. And that cancerous little knot of maggots, Make America Great Again, Trumpansy scum, that weren't even halfway filling that arena, just clapped and cheered because they're a bunch of goddamn bigots, racists, Klansmen, neo-Nazis, and sympathizers. okay? They just are. I am so done. I am so done trying to mollycoddle these little punks and pukes and pretend that there's anything good about them. It is just a brutal realization that we have to come to that one-third of this country sympathize or actively participate in the advancement of fascism. I don't care how many goddamn reporters get sent to places like West Virginia or Alabama or fucking Texas or Michigan or Pennsylvania or Wisconsin trying to find these odious little fucks. They're still odious little fucks. I don't care how economically anxious they say they are. They're still maggots. Make America Great Again, Trump, pansy scum.
Bob, please stop with the ambiguity.
I agree with you 100%, Bob, but I'm going to just say
and
one
now
thing.
The breaking, and wait, Lamar, and now the breaking okay. And now the breaking news.
The breaking news.
Sebastian Gorka has just announced his departure from the White House.
So he was next on the list to be strung up by his boot tail.
Well, it seems like maybe, and I mean, I'm sure this will be the take in the for-profit media, that that John Kelly is quietly going about the business of eliminating people who were causing the biggest amount of the chaos. And see, you got to remember, Sebastian Gorka has this bullshit PhD. He's not an expert in national security, but he was sitting on the National Security Council. And what he is a former editor from, come on, drum roll please, anybody?
Breitbart.
Yep,
Breitbart.
That website that rhymes with light and fart.
Breitbart, as you like to say, Bob.
That website that rhymes with light and fart.
Mr. Bob, Brother Bob, I'm not a betting man, but I'm willing to put a nickel up with you that Sebastian, what's his fuck name, is going to be the first one who's going to ring before Mnuchin and the other people. They're going to string his punk ass first because he's a legitimate Nazi faggot. Oh, fascist, I won't call him faggot. But
yeah,
fascist,
please don't use that
asshole word. I'm sorry. I have a speech impediment. Just bear with me, okay?
It was just a slip of the tongue. It's cool, brother. Go on.
Yeah, but see, he's going to be the first one they're going to string up, and then all the dominoes are going to fall in place. But I was going to say, remember when Ford pardoned Nixon? What happened to the Republican Party?
Well, yeah, they got Reagan in another 6 years.
Yeah, but see, okay, go ahead, Scott.
Be that as it may, Lamar, you are on the right track in the sense that the Republicans, you know, for a party whose symbol is the elephant, their memory is not very good, okay? They say an elephant.
You know what? hey, Scott, I hate to say this, but I always thought the donkey was the Republican Party. I'm so sorry.
Well, the southern portion of a northbound donkey, anyway. But
yeah, because go ahead, buddy.
They have a short memory about the time when they were in the wilderness, okay? And yeah, we did get Reagan in 80 and all the shit that caused. But let's also remember that it's like that three-dimensional chess game in Star Trek, and there's your obligatory Star Trek reference, Bob.
I do. I'm a tracker.
There are a lot of moving parts in this machinery, and while there may be demonstrations in the street over the pardoning of our PIO, you know damn well that Trump and his minions will make that work for them on some level to get the rabble roused. Okay?
Can I be the skunk at the picnic?
Yes, you may. Shoot, my brother.
Okay.
Spray away.
He knew he was going to pardon this guy.
Oh, we knew that.
Along comes this hurricane. He pardons him on the night the hurricane before the hurricane hits ground in Texas.
Right.
I can promise you this. 1 week from now, no one will remember this pardon.
But see, you know what they're going to remember?
They're going to remember everything.
They're going to remember that there was no relief for those people who just got hit. That's going to be the uproar. This imbecile.
No, but what I'm saying is the Arpaio thing will be out of the zeitgeist in a week.
Oh, yes. It's going to be out of the, like I say before in the chat room. Hey, look, guys, there's a squirrel. Oh, he got a nut. Oh, shit, he got a gun. Run for your life. This is where we're at. They're going to shine the objects in our face. But the point is, this administration has done nothing to help America. It has done everything possible to remove what Obama did for the people and what Bush and everybody else has done for the people. They're taking us back to 1920. And until America realizes that, and by us not teaching history, I'm an educator. We don't teach history, we don't teach civics.
No, not worth diddly.
Yes. So if you don't know where you've been, you cannot stop from going there again. And this is their premise. If the American people do not know how government works, they cannot stop government. Unfortunately, some of us are still around who are still preaching, I can't think of it. Insurrection. We're still preaching insurrection. And this insurrection has now become the problem. Like these people against fascism, FARB, whatever they call themselves.
The Antifa.
Yeah. I was against them. But I know what? I'm taking it back. I'm pulling for these people because they're going to match violence with violence. I do not agree with violence. But if your opponent is going to bring baseball bats, shouldn't we have some baseball bats as well?
No, we should. And if they're going to bring baseball bats, we ought to bring bazookas.
Well, now you're going for overkill. I love you already.
Yeah, you're right. I am going for overkill because Democrats and the left have for too long tried to reason with people who are not you can't reason with, number one. Number two, and Bob and I have talked a lot about this on the purely political front, Democrats and the left have come to a political gunfight with butter knives.
I agree with you 100%. I was born in 50, let me get this right. I was born in 58. My father fought in the Korean War. I am a son of military family. I understand what's going on. I have noticed what these Democrats under Clinton prescribe for the rest of us. I do not agree about it. I am a Democrat. Let me state my position right now. I am American first. I'm a Democrat second. My religion has got nothing to do with you. That's my disposition. And I'm like this. Until this country understands that we are Americans first, forget all the stupid stuff. Because when Al-Qaeda and the rest of us attack us, do you think they ask us, are you a Republican or Democrat before they shoot you in the goddamn head? No. You are American. Americans should understand, like I've had this conversation with Bob. Bob asked me to renew my passport. I told him I'm not doing it because in 1983, I saw the venom of Europe toward Americans. And I said to myself, if they're going to kill me, they're going to have to come to America and get me. And under Bush's watch, they hit the New York towers.
Hey, Stylin, are you getting from Canada when you're traveling abroad? Don't say you're an American. That takes
care
of that.
I agree with you, Steve. I mean, I agree with Bilbo. I agree with you. If you leave this U.S. continent, do not state who you are. And you know what really pisses me off? We used to give out travel advisories in the 70s and the 80s. Now we're having travel advisories against us from the place that our boy hates, the UN. Do not travel to America if your skin ain't pasty white. That's sad.
Well, it is sad, but it's also consistent with the immigration policy of this country up into the freaking 1970s.
Yes.
Okay. But so progress is always met, Lamar, with resistence.
I agree with that.
It's just a fact, and what we're seeing here is a great big barbaric bellow that began with the inauguration of Barack Hussein Obama. Okay, and that freed them. It's ironic, but it's true. That freed the bigots and the racists, the Klansmen, the neo-Nazis, the skinheads, etc., and the people who secretly or quietly agree with them, that freed them to stop having to hide their hate. So now they're out in front. Now they're out out in plain view.
Yes, they are.
Wait, please.
Go ahead.
I want to share some comments from other folks.
Go ahead, Bob.
Jude just wrote in, subject line, pardoning process. My understanding from Rachel Maddow's program last night with a former federal prosecutor stated regarding the president's right to pardon, when one is pardoned one and accepts it, it is a statement of their guilt. And two, it then voids the right to claim the Fifth Amendment. So, theoretically, Arpaio could be called on to testify and not allowed to claim the Fifth with regard to the abuses he committed, so that we could actually...
Ain't gonna happen.
Well, not with this Congress. No, it's not.
There you go.
So there's that. Then there's a note from Alma, who writes from New Mexico. Subject line, front porch. Oh, Bob, what an awesome, lively conversation this evening. I so wish I could join. I have a great horned owl sitting in my backyard elm tree. For 7 hours now, he has patiently waited for a meal. Darkness has swooped down on this country, but we will come out into the sunshine. I really believe this. We have to have hope. There will be death this weekend because of the storm in the Gulf. May that part of the country be somehow protected from total devastation. I have loved ones in the Houston and surrounding areas like many of us. Bless you and your program. I learn so much from you and your community all the times that I am able to listen. Sincerely, Alma. Thank you, Alma. Thank you very kindly. Right, and you know, I think that we cannot overlook, and Steve, in New York, you alluded to this, I believe, we cannot overlook the fact that this, I think we can take it back up. I think we can take it as a given that the Trump response to what's about to happen on the Texas Gulf Coast is going to be atrocious. It may make George W. Bush's administration's response to Katrina look humane. You know, and with that being the case. I think that it really does fit, you know, this. I mean, this is kind of a big news dump. I mean, you get Sebastian Gorka, you get the pardon of Arpaio, you've got North Korea shooting missiles into the sea because we're conducting joint military exercises with the South Koreans. They're trying to give the for-profit media everything in the world to look at, except looking at what will be, I predict, a disastrous response to a disaster. Is that what you were getting at, Steve?
Me? Yes.
Yes, yeah, so both Steves, absolutely.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll say this one. What really worries me is it looks like New Orleans is. What I read an article that said the water pumps in New Orleans have malfunctioned.
They petered out last week. They started
let's ponder this. Let's ponder devastation, basically the entire east coast of Texas all the way up into Louisiana, which will mean Mississippi, which will mean Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Texas. I mean, I hope it doesn't happen. But my little voice in my head is we're talking thousands of people dying. Thousands.
Yes.
It's going to make Katrina look like a walk in the park, maybe.
I think we're talking Katrina times five or six,
well,
maybe
it's Cat 4 now.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I would like to say this.
Go ahead, Lamar.
This is going to be Trump's Bush's Katrina, because it's going to point back to the Republicans have the presidency, both House of Congress and the judicial system, and they did not prepare for the American people. If you are a Trumpansy and your house gets flooded out, you can't look at the Democrats because we're not in power.
Lamar, that's where you're wrong, brother. It is always Obama's fault. Things that happened in the dim leader administration are Obama's fault. Things happening in the Trump administration are Obama's fault. The assassination of Abraham Lincoln is Obama's fault. The assassination of President Garfield, Obama's fault. The assassination of McKinley, Obama's fault. The Great Depression, Obama's fault. Okay? Pearl Harbor. Well, that was him using his secret Kenyan Muslim usurper time folding powers to cause the Japanese to attack the United States. Vietnam, Obama's fault.
I have a way to stop that. Okay, since it's Obama's, and this is why I use the people who bring that on that or bring that shit on me. Since it was Obama's fault and you're in power, why didn't the fuck you fix it?
Oh, because Kenyan Muslim usurper power cannot be overcome by the hand of mortal man.
Well, wait a minute. Hasn't anyone heard? I mean, I've heard this Obama has had moles and they put people in the government positions and who are undermining Trump. Trump, and then that all bleeds over into the deep state, and then the sparkle fart ponies and the right wing nutballs are all on the same page. And I mean, listen,
Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the DNC.
Yes. You know, and I want someone to. If this thing is a disaster, which it probably will be, and somebody says to me, "Well, you think Hillary would have been better?" I'll say, "You're goddamn right."
No, I want to answer your question on the Obama's fault. You know what I would say to that person? I've said it to others. You know what? For a black person who is supposed to be so stupid and so incoherent, how the fuck did he beat you guys and stifle you from obtaining your ultimate dream?
Kenyan Muslim usurper power. He's a wizard. He's a Kenyan Muslim usurper wizard.
We're supposed to be inferior, Bob.
No, because his daddy was a Muslim. Okay? Now if he was just a plain old black fella, absolutely. But his daddy was a Muslim wizard.
A Muslim wizard. I like that, Bob, because I'm going to sit there and say like this. Well, you know what? Since he was a Muslim wizard, and since Abraham went from wherever he left and went to the east because he didn't want to sacrifice his son.
No. Abram left Ur of the Chaldees and went west.
He went east.
No, Ur of the Chaldees is east of Canaan.
Well, you know what? We'll have this argument another day. We're not going to get into biblical. I don't like biblical because I'm one of those people. If I talk too much biblical, I'm afraid I'm going to get struck down by lightning. Okay, I'm not religious. But you know what? My God tells me all I'm supposed to do is love you, love him, and love thy neighbor. I'm not supposed to judge nobody else, and I don't judge. You do me wrong, I stop doing business with you. That's just as simple as that.
Well, Lamar, nothing's wrong with judging people. I mean, I think we all have the right to judge somebody, but we can't we can't be a hypocrite in judging it. We can't throw stones at glass houses. But I mean, if somebody is a total asshole, like the nincompoop Nero, I guess I'll call him that.
I like Bob's statement. Augustus or Geezer, whatever
Geezer,
he is.
Geezer Disgustus.
Geezer Disgustus.
You know what? I'm going to modify that. I'm going to have to do some book learning tonight because I like the Geezer part, but we got to do something about the Augustus.
Geezer Disgustus. Like, I'm disgusted.
Well, I understand. I know you're disgusted, but you know what? I like my Greek and Italian people, and Augustus is one of their titles, and I don't want to really offend them. So I got to come up with something. I like the Geezer. I like the Geezer. I'll come up with something.
Geezer rhymes with... Octavian was known as Caesar Augustus. So Geezer,
right.
he's a Geezer because he's, you know,
oh.
Septuagenarian. So Geezer hey. Rhymes with Caesar. Disgustus rhymes with Augustus. So Geezer Disgustus. All right, we are rapidly running out of time here. There's only 19 minutes left in the program, and I want to turn the conversation back to a final topic, if I may, because
Bob, can I get this last statement in?
Go ahead.
How about Geezer, a geyser?
No. Geezer Disgustus.
And you know what a geyser does?
It's
water.
Lamar, it's a play on words. Let it alone, man.
I know. It's a play on words. I want to call him Geezer a geyser.
Hey, Bob.
Or geyser a geezer.
No. The horn has spoken. It is Geezer Disgustus.
Bob, before you,
I mean,
okay.
Once in a while I get to be Oz. Once in a while I get to be Oz the Great and Terrible. Okay.
Bob, Mr. Bob.
Yes, Scott.
Point of order.
Point of order.
Bob. Okay, I bow down. I submit. I bow to the great Bob, the Almighty, the All-Knowing, semi-All-Knowing. Okay.
Before you turn the page, I have one more bit of side note.
Okay.
It should be obvious with today's constant breaking news for the last hour. It should be obvious to all concerned that on January 20th on the Capitol steps, Trump put his hand on a trick Bible with blank pages. That's the only explanation I have for this.
When Bob made the statement, he put his hand on the Bible, it's amazing that nobody in there was engulfed in flames. So I really like that one.
Like, and when he shook hands with Chief Justice Roberts, he had one of those buzzers on his hand to buzz the Chief Justice.
I've seen the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, and that's what I was expecting to happen at the inauguration. But you know, okay. So last topic.
Okay, Bob.
I am hell and be damned going to get this topic in. Okay, because.
Okay.
Because
let's let Bob talk. Come on now, everybody.
Come on, Bob.
He's got the floor.
Because this too is breaking news. It happened this afternoon, and there is a whole lot of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth among. The Purity Patrol. This is a day that will live in infamy among the people who breathe the laughing gas. Billable Rick, and I think Steve from New York, you were in on this conversation too. Do you recall the lawsuit that was filed by the lawyers representing disaffected Bernie voters, alleging sort of fraud against DNC and goddamn Debbie Wasserman Schultz? Remember that case?
Yeah, it's here, the one here in New York, right?
No, it's down in Florida.
Kings County Supreme.
No, it's down in Florida.
I thought there was one in, okay.
No, it's down in Florida.
They went down in flames, I assume, right, Bob?
Well, and we had a conversation about it because at one point in time, this lawsuit survived a 12B6 motion to dismiss, failure to state a claim upon which relief could be granted. And almost every civil lawsuit survives a defense motion under 12B6 to dismiss for failure to state a claim upon which relief can be granted. But back when this particular lawsuit filed by as an alleged class action by disaffected Bernie voters saying that they never would have given money to the DNC if they thought that Bernie wouldn't have won. I mean, really, that's one of their claims. Well, back when that 12B6 motion was denied, they were all over the interweb tubes. And they were, see, a judge done said that Debbie Wasserman Schultz is, and the corrupt DNC and the establishment shills and the neoliberals was all in cahoots to keep Bernie from being our president. Remember all that? Are we on the same page?
Yes. Was Hillary part of that? Was the devil part of that, Bob?
Absolutely, because she used her Hillary devil woman powers to corrupt the DNC.
Her feminine wiles.
That's just crazy, Bob. I would have never bet on my Kentucky Derby favorite if I didn't think it was going to win. That mean I could sue somebody.
Well, that's why I'm trying to that's why I'm bringing this back up, because it went a little further down the road, and there was another motion to dismiss. Well, there's another proceeding. I'm guessing it was I'm guessing maybe summary judgment, guys. And so, in the United States District Court for the Southern District of Florida, Carol Wilding et al. Versus DNC Services Corp., DBA, Democratic National Committee, and Deborah Wasserman Schultz defendants. This matter is before the court upon defendant's motion to dismiss plaintiff's first amended complaint. The court has carefully reviewed said motion, the entire court file, and with the benefit of oral argument, is otherwise fully advised in the premises. Goat launches into a fact pattern. 28-page order. Accordingly, after due consideration, it is adjudged and ordered as follows. Defendant's motion to dismiss plaintiff's first amended complaint be and the same is hereby granted. And two, the above styled cause be and the same is hereby dismissed without prejudice for lack of subject matter jurisdiction. Done and ordered in the chambers at Fort Lauderdale, Broward County, Florida, this 25th day of August, 2017. William J. Block, Senior United States District Judge. Now, anybody who ever had a cup of coffee in law school could have seen this coming. Agreed?
Yeah, it's a political question.
And fraud has to be pled with specificity.
Mm-hmm.
And class actions have to be, the classes have to be certified. And before you even get to any of those things, the court has to have jurisdiction over the subject matter. Not just the parties, but over the subject matter. And the court can raise, on its own initiative, jurisdiction at any time.
No, subject matter jurisdiction. It can't raise personal jurisdiction at its
no, but itself. But it can on its own, it can declare that it does not have the jurisdiction to rule upon the subject matter.
Right.
Yeah, just as an example, the Supreme Court has dismissed cases for lack of subject matter jurisdiction that were appealed by the losing party, and the Supreme Court said, hey, we don't have subject matter of this. You know, subject matter jurisdiction of this. Never should have gotten this far.
But
12b1.
But back when that first motion was denied, it was all about how, see, we're going to show it. A judge sided with us. We won. Okay.
That redefines a slippery slope, though.
So I just thought I would share with you some of the responses, because they are having an sparkle fart powered unicorn cavalry purity brigade is having kittens with polka dotted crocheted tails. So I screenshotted a few responses on.
There's Bob.
I screenshotted a few responses on Facebook. Hashtag damn exit if you haven't already. They can and will cheat you. Oh my God. You are fucking kidding me. So what was up with that bullshit judge and his democracy speech?
What?
So who's ready to actually have that revolution yet? Get out the pitchforks. Not shot. All caps. Not shocked at all here, especially since the case was in Broward County. The DNC owns every judge and politician in this county. Never mind that it's a federal judge with lifetime tenure.
Brother Steve, Brother Rick, blow this out of the water, man. Go.
I think it's very simple.
Yeah.
What people don't understand, and I get so pissed at this, the political parties are private clubs. They make their own rules. The Constitution doesn't apply. This is not an issue of democracy. They make their own rules. They can change their own rules at any time. It's a political issue. It's that simple.
Well, but this is, you know, this is going to continue to this is going to continue to percolate, and this is going to give, and I think it's by design. This is going to continue to provide a reason for the petulant purity patrol to continue to, you know, fuck up any effort to actually wrest power away from the Republicans. Let me share a couple more responses here. Well, I suppose this is what Americans needed to see for us to understand just what a web they've weaved when they strive to deceive. It's coming. They know it. They feel it and sense it just like we do. Let's not get too upset about this and take it in stride like the thousand other insults to our intelligence. They can control a whole lot, but the only thing we can all change or control is us and how we now approach these scab traitors.
Oh, God, what a digression. Jesus.
Oh, here we go. But wait. Oh, no, this is good. No. Well, I cannot think of any reason to bother to participate in the rigged system of voting any longer. This from a person who had even voted in those little local elections for judges. Because she voted for that judge, even though he was appointed by the president for life. We already knew the elites and corporations ran everything, but now it will be overt. And then another poor fella, all he can say is, all caps, fuck, fuck, fuck. But here's no, this is all my turn. Here's my favorite.
Okay, go ahead. Go.
Unfreaking believable. Judge doesn't want to be suicided.
What? What does that mean?
Oh, I have a bad feeling about suicide.
Bob.
He doesn't want to be suicided because Crooked Hillary will have one of her people go and kill the judge in the middle of the night because she does that because she's a Clinton.
Oh, God. Was that Steve in New York who talked about the Democratic Party?
Yeah.
Hey, buddy. I'm like, does I agree with you? Can I have a Shrek? Can I have a Shrek moment right now? I'm going to be the troll or the ogre or whatever they want to do. Y'all bastards need to crawl back under the rock. Get out of the way and let the people who are going to do the real fighting do the real fucking fighting.
Yeah, but the problem, Lamar, is they're not going to go away. And there's some sort of support for this that finds a benefit in keeping progressives and Democrats and liberals and whatever else we call each other from ever unifying to take power away from, you know, them.
That's the liberal media.
No, that's not the liberal media. It's the goddamn Republicans, Lamar. Wake up and smell my coffee.
No, that's the liberal media. Liberal media. I know. You and I both know there's no such thing as a liberal media. It's the Republican Party posing as liberal media.
Okay, who hey-bobbed me? Who hey-bobbed me?
It's Steve.
Yes, Steve.
Let me tell you what. I can't help but think, as the image of Dr. Wi-Fi's bad for you, Jill Stein, sitting at that table with Putin and all those people, and I can't help but think in my little conspiracy theory mind that somehow there's Russian money behind this that's funding this shit like this.
Red baiter.
Absolutely.
You red baiter, you. You McCarthyite.
I see nothing. I hear nothing. I see nothing.
And we are almost out of time. And our buddy Larry from the Bay Area jumped in right at the very end. So I want to say hi to Larry and give him a minute. Hey, Larry.
Hey, Larry.
Howdy. Let me go on here. Hold on. Hi. Howdy. How is everybody? There are a couple
Great.
Of people that I don't know. I don't know Lamar yet, and I don't know who else is on. But hello, Lamar. How are you? I'm Larry Buckholz.
How you doing, Larry?
I'm doing okay. I'm a sometime. I participate sporadically now into Friday on the Front Porch, but I'm in here. How's everybody doing? How you doing, Bob?
We're getting along. This has been one humdinger of a Friday on the Front Porch.
I have a question to ask. There apparently there's something in the government they're trying to delay a report or delay an investigation into something in Appalachia with the coal companies, and I didn't quite hear on Tom Hartman what that was.
Well, Tom should have called me so I could have explained it to him. Brad Friedman called and we had a great conversation. It's like this. The National Academy of Sciences, Engineering and Math, just basically the National Academy of Science, was charged last year by the Office of Surface Mining to conduct a review, and it was funded to the tune of $1 million, money already spent, a review of all the research, peer-reviewed, published scientific research heretofore produced regarding the health impacts of mountaintop removal on innocent citizen populations located near the mines. Because all of that science points to the fact that mountaintop removal is toxic, as we have discussed, and, you know, you've been involved in the 8 campaign.
Yes.
Well, the Department of the Interior, acting on orders from the White House, suppressed and quashed and stopped the National Academy of Sciences review, because all the meetings and everything looked like they were going to say that mountaintop removal there needs to be more work done, but there appears to be a definite link between elevated morbidity and mortality in mountaintop removal areas and mountaintop removal itself, and particularly the dust that comes off of mountaintop removal. And it was that dust issue that scared the shit out of them because, you know, you can claim that you're mitigating the water damage, that you're filtering the water, you're purifying the water. But, Larry, there is no way they can keep that dust on their mining sites. When they set those blasts off, and, you know, one of those blasts can equal the explosive force of 25 cruise missiles hitting at the same time. When those blasts go off, that dust is going to leave the mining site, and it falls on communities and people miles away who can't see it, can't smell it, might have heard it, but can't do a damn thing about it, breathe it, and it starts disease processes that cannot be stopped. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, yeah. So now we know that the government is going to actively suppress any kind of attempt to pass anything like the AIC Act.
That goes without saying during this Congress, Larry.
Okay. Well, okay. Well, it's very upsetting.
Those of us who work on this issue were, as the saying goes around here, mattered no wet hens.
Yes. Well, anyway, I hope everybody is doing well. First of all, I think the person we call the president has no class. I think he's a sleazebag. I don't particularly like him very much. I think he's an arrogant son of a you-know-what. And the sooner that we can find a way to get rid of him without... That's what I think. I'm very upset with this, guy.
You know,
what's that? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Yeah, I was going to say real quickly, if we don't get rid of our fascism problem, the world is going to do it for us. So we better take care of it ourselves, or else we're going to be like Germany was in World War II, and they're going to have to kill the fascism in this country in order to defeat it. You know,
that's what I was saying earlier. That if we do not stop them from doing this, these Trump type or chimpanzees who are fascists,
maggots,
they don't understand. Okay, thank you, Bob. Second time you did that. I'm sorry. I'm a slow learner. But if we do not fix this problem, we will be like Germany of 1930-something. We will have the rest of the world. Russia's already putting us in the position where we have to fight everybody. England, our only sister city or country, has question marks about our validity. Canada and Mexico are setting up to defend against us.
Well, you know something. I know it's after 6 o'clock, but it is.
I'm sorry, but we got to end it because
okay.
The program's over. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Larry, for jumping in. It's always good to hear from you. Thank you, Steve in New York. Thank you, Steve from Georgia, Stan. Thank you, Billable Rick, and thanks for the challenge, Billable Rick. It was met. Thank you very kindly, Charlie in Tennessee. Thank you to Scott, and I guess Punky's napping. And thank you to Silent R. Lamar in L.A. Thanks to all your emails, and thank you very, very, very much, all of you, who performed a Friday on the Front Porch miracle and got us out of the woods for the week. So now it's 4 days downhill to the end of August, and licking Lithuanians and nudging Norskies, and hopefully we'll get there. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Steve from Georgia Stan, Midweek Utility chat room moderator and all-around great guy. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. Coal River Mountain Watch on Facebook and at Coal River MTN on Twitter. Follow them everywhere you can. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all. Have a great weekend.